I want to read from Philippians chapter 4. And in the message today, I'm going to bring you to two places. If you want to mark your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. But then the 16th chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 16, would be another place to mark. Hear the word of the Lord. This wonderful admonition from Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Rejoice, and when I say it again, I will say, I want you to say the word with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness, that word is a difficult word to translate. It can mean gentleness, reasonableness. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, and the word here, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Last Sunday morning, I participated in a worship service. The worship service started at 10. We got picked up from the place we were staying at 10:30. Got there about 11. They'd been worshiping for an hour. And Pastor Joel preached and Jaden preached. I preached. Joel got up again the first time he did a children's message. By the time we were done, it was 12:45. They'd been worshiping almost 3 hours and didn't think anything of it. And as I got up to preach, one of the first things I said was, "It is so good to be with you in the Solomon Islands." And as I preach today, I want to begin by saying, "It is so good to be with you back home at New Hope Free Lutheran Church here in Jamestown, North Dakota." I want to thank you for being with me on this journey, with your prayers, for allowing me time to go. Really, you're participating in the mission as you go with me and as you support in those ways. And we had a wonderful time. I think, in terms of my experience overseas, probably the most impactful time that I have felt. And I don't think I'm just saying that because it's fresh. But the conference was so well organized. There was a Pastor Steve over there who was the chief organizer. His father, Pastor Alfred, was also honored and spoke quite a few times. Pastor Steve had done a great job. He told me I didn't really send out that many invitations, but he said word got around and people came. They came from all 7 provinces. Well, I think there's actually 9 provinces, but they came from 7 of the main provinces. Some came by 3 days by boat to come to the conference. Each way, 3 days to get from the far reaches of the Solomon Islands to Haniera on the island of Guadalcanal. That's where the famous World War II battle was fought. And so at the end of the time, I had a day and a half to be a tourist, and I took a whole day World War II tour, and it was just phenomenal just to see the old aircraft and the wreckage and to hear about the stories of the Solomonese, the native people who worked as spies and guides for the Allied forces to drive out the Japanese occupation in World War II. It was phenomenal, but the conference was the main thing. We taught for 4 days. There was about 200 pastors and church leaders, about just over 100 the first day, and we were in this small room that in an aquatic center. But the second and third day, we moved up and we took an offering, and the just perfect amount of money came in that we were able to rent the second floor, and we had about 200 people there the second and third day. In this Japanese-built facility, I thought it was so nice of the communist, atheist Chinese to build a church for us. But we had a wonderful, wonderful time, and we were with praying people. Some of the participants had been fasting and praying for 21 days in advance of our coming. a three-week fast, eating just one light meal a day, praying. And so they were hungry. There was an openness to the teaching and to the Word of God. And as we taught, we had testimony after testimony that this was, I mean, they were already praying people, right? I mean, they prayed loud. They prayed fervently. They were people of prayer. But the teaching and the Lord's prayer pattern represented breakthrough for them. And they were already, even before we left, forming their what they called their servant leadership teams and launching upper rooms of prayer and telling us this is what we've needed. There was breakthrough in many different ways that happened. I'll give you one illustration. We were worshiping and we'd been worshiping and my friend Pastor Joel Kangas was up teaching. I can't remember which lesson it was, whether it was the manifest presence, whether it was the upper room. I don't remember exactly what teaching he was teaching. But he was prompted by the Spirit to really go off script. And he says, I just sense that we need to honor the women in our midst. And he said, I'm going to have all the men go to the outside, you know, get out of your chairs and encircle the women. And we did. And we began to pray blessing over the women in our midst. And that went on for quite a while. One of the dear sisters, she was a real prayer warrior, a leader in her own right. And she got up later and she spoke really prophetically, talking about how God, it was time for the women to rise up. And what we learned is that the Solomon Islands rank in the top 10 for domestic abuse. And the women are down. But what Joel was prompted was really a breaking of a stronghold. And as the men and prayed, and there's humility, and the women were lifted up. There was a breaking of a demonic stronghold, I believe. And she said as much as this dear sister, and her name doesn't come to me right now, but praying women, it's time to rise up. It's time to rise up. And so there was this ennobling of the leadership. That's just one example of things that the Holy Spirit did that we really wasn't even part of the planning, but that God did. And there was breakthrough in terms of forgiveness, as we talked about the Lord's prayer pattern, forgive us our trespasses. And there was breakthrough in multiple different ways as we prayed. And they were, like I said, already launching the what we call upper rooms of prayer. What is an upper room of prayer? It's where anywhere where Christians gather, two or more, and sometimes just one with the Holy Spirit. Churches can be upper rooms of prayer. Couples can be upper rooms of prayer. Families, anywhere where Christians gather to receive the manifest presence of Christ in the Holy Spirit, to minister to the manifest presence of Christ, worshiping Christ. And God reveals himself as we worship him. And those are upper rooms of prayer. And every prayer meeting, really, ideally, is an upper room of prayer. Sometimes we get just kind of caught up in our agenda. But if we make our first agenda, ministering to the manifest presence of Christ in our midst, as we minister to the Lord, he gives us our other assignments. If you think of an upper room of prayer, Paul and Barnabas and McKeon and about three or four different people, no, five or six different people of five or six different nationalities gathered in Antioch in the book of Acts. And the Bible says they were worshiping the Lord and fasting and worshiping the Lord, ministering to the Lord is what it says. They were ministering to the Lord. God spoke to them and said, set aside for me Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I've called them. And so as they ministered to the manifest presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke and revealed the next assignments. But our first assignment is to minister to the manifest presence of God in our prayer times whenever we gather, to minister to his presence. So anyway, these are some of the things that happened. I want to thank you so much. I knew that you were praying for me. And the power of prayer is powerful. Everything by prayer. And as I was on the plane, I brought a couple books with me. One of them is a book that I think we may need to dig further into called The Church on Fire. But a book, Everything by Prayer. And I noticed in our gospel, in our reading today from Philippians, it said there is the phrase, everything by prayer. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. This book was written by Fred Hartley about his mentor, Armin Geslein, who was a prayer warrior and fostered many prayer movements. He was Billy Graham's prayer coordinator beginning back in 1949. And this Armin Geslein, I won't go into the book, but just emphasize that everything we do by prayer. And so as we get into this text here, Paul gives us admonition. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, when we were in the Black Hills a couple summers ago, we studied the book of Philippians, and it's often referred to as the epistle of joy. And when, as we look at this, we wonder, how could Paul be so joyful? How could Paul be so exuberant in extolling the congregation to rejoice in the Lord? He was certainly not in a good circumstance when he wrote Philippians. Does anybody know where he was and under what condition? Well, he was in Rome in chains. He was in his first imprisonment in Rome. Not very nice circumstance. Not a very good place to be. And yet from prison, Paul wrote these letters, including the letter to the Philippians, saying, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say rejoice. Noticing that when the scripture tells us to rejoice, it doesn't say rejoice in your circumstances. Your circumstances might be fantastic right now. They may be lousy. You might be going through a time of bereavement. You might be going through economic distress. Our friends in the Solomon Islands, I got talking to the security guard at my hotel when I was a tourist the last 2 days, and he told me we work about 6 8-hour days every week, and we make, in American money, about $63 a week. When I went into their stores, the prices didn't seem to be much less than they are here. How can you make a living on $1.30 an hour? Life is hard. And yet we were with Christians who were exuberantly rejoicing in the Lord, ministering to his manifest presence. I thought, how can that be? Well, it's our joy is in the Lord, which is deeper and more profound than any circumstance that we're in. We have a God who is with us, who's promised never to fail us nor forsake us. Jesus says, I am with you always to the close of the age. You're never alone. Dear people, you can rejoice no matter what you're going through. You can rejoice in the Lord. And in fact, it's not just a suggestion, it's a commandment. We are to be people of joy. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness, your gentleness, it can be translated different ways. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Now, what is that saying? He's writing to Christian people. It's another way of saying, let your light so shine. Let your Christian character come forth and be seen where you operate, where you live. Jesus put it this way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. I want you to take your right hand and put it right here. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Don't put your hand back here where you can't see it. Don't put it so high up that you have to kind of stretch your neck. It's right here. The Lord is at hand. So when you pray, when you're living your life, when you're going through trials, how far away is God? He's right here. He's right with you. We might say he's in your heart, in your mind. Yes, he is. He's in you. But he's right here. He's right present with you. Remember that the next time you're going through a tough time. Where is God in this? And hold up your hand and say, God is right here. He's right here. He's with me. What a difference that makes. The Lord is at hand. And it's talking about the presence of God, right? God is with me. But there's two kinds of different ways of thinking about the presence of God. There is the omnipresence of God and the manifest presence of God. They overlap, certainly, but they're two different things. They're both biblical. They're both true. The omnipresence is more of a more theoretical, though. It's the thought, the theological proposition that God is everywhere present, omnipresent. There's Psalm 139 says, there's nowhere that I can go to escape your presence. You're everywhere, God, right? So there's the everywhere presence of God. But there's the manifest presence of God. What is the manifest presence of God? That's when God makes himself known. That's what we seek. We don't have to seek for God's omnipresence because you'll never have any more of God's everywhere presence than you already have. But the Bible tells us to seek, to ask, to knock. And what we're looking for is the omnipresence of God, for God to manifest himself. And every servant of God in the Bible, every leader was called through the manifest presence of God, right? Moses is out herding sheep, and all of a sudden he sees a bush. It's on fire. And God speaks to Moses out of the burning bush. Now, God's omnipresence was on every other bush in the pasture. But it's only in that one bush where God manifests his presence and spoke to Moses, called him to free the slaves in Egypt. And then we go to Mount Sinai. We could say the omnipresence of God was on all the mountains, but God manifests his presence on Mount Sinai. The thunder and an earthquake and smoke, and God spoke. And the sound of a horn, and God gave the Ten Commandments. God manifests his presence. Jesus went up with the Mount of Transfiguration. There God manifests his presence. They beheld God's glory. They saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus in a transfigured state. They were in the manifest presence of God. As I thought about this, the Lord is at hand. He's writing now to the church at Philippi. And it got me thinking, as I was led as I thought about this last week, where does the Bible tell us about Paul's time? How was Paul introduced to Philippi, to this congregation? How was he led there? What happened there? Everything that happened in Philippi is really told in the 16th chapter of Acts, and everything that happened there happened as a result of God's manifest presence. And so we turn there and really start. I'm not going to read it, but starting at about verse 6, we read about Paul on a missionary journey. He and Timothy and Silas are traveling along through what would today be Turkey, and they want to turn left. And God says, no, don't turn left. Don't go to Asia. They want to go to Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit prevented them from going to Bithynia. That was kind of a northerly direction. And then at night, Paul had a vision. And what did he see? He saw a man from Macedonia. Where is Macedonia? It's in modern-day Greece. And the chief city of Macedonia is a town called Philippi. So he saw a man of Macedonia saying, come over here and help us. And they took that to understand that God was calling them to go across the strait into Greece. And they made their way to Philippi. And there they found a group of people, a group of women who had been praying. Among them was Lydia. I got thinking about that. And this part didn't come to me until this morning. I got to think about our own story. Everything by prayer. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I thought about the early days of this congregation, and one of the mottos was everything by prayer. And there was a group of people praying. They didn't know quite what direction to go. Should we go this way or that way? Join this church or what should we do, Lord? And guess where they came? Into this building. And they began to pray. God, would you show us where you'd have us go? And then it wasn't Lydia, but a woman whose daughter was named Lydia. Went over to Valley City at Grace Free Lutheran Church. She and her husband Stan, and they were worshiping there. And Catherine said, I cried through the whole service. As the Holy Spirit was saying, yeah, this is where I'm leading you. And pretty soon, a man named Paul, I call him our own Apostle Paul, says, come over and help us. I think we use telephones. God uses the telephone rather than the direct prayer line. But Paul Nash, since he was to come here and help us. And pretty soon communication opened up. And at the same time, I was over here saying, God, I don't know where to go or what to do. And October 8th, 2015, just over 10 years ago, I was awakened at 4:50 in the morning. How many of you know that I'm not a morning person? I woke at 4:50 in the morning. And many of you know this story, but some of you don't. And I heard, take up your cross and follow me. I heard in my spirit, take my yoke upon you. I heard in my spirit, rest in me. I got up at 4:50 in the morning, and for an hour and a half, I journaled what I was hearing in my spirit, and it was right from the Word of God. And that night, I remembered I was to call our own apostle Paul. It's Paul Nash, our home mission director, Pastor Nash. And when I called him, I learned that he'd been awakened at 4:50 in the morning. And he said, I woke up with you and you only on my mind, and I prayed for you. Well, he was praying for me while I was hearing from the Lord. And he said, I tried not to pray for you after a while because there's other things to pray about. He said, God did not release you until finally I looked at my clock and it was 6:35 in the morning. For an hour and 45 minutes, he's praying for me. Who prays for somebody for an hour and 45 minutes? But God didn't release me. God was doing the work, everything by prayer. God opened the door, standing nose to nose the day night after I resigned right before my interview here at New Hope, standing nose to nose with Rod Munson and Barb, but nose to nose with Rod, we're the same height, both short. And he was saying, God, thank you for making the decision you did. God has called us to, we're going somewhere. We need to go to a church. What church is that? New Hope, the Lutheran Free Church, he said. And I'm standing nose to nose with Rod saying, I think I'm going to be your pastor, but I couldn't tell him yet. That was at the Youth for Christ banquet. Another thing that God had lined up where I was speaking at months before any of this happened. Everything by prayer. And as I talked to Jim and these guys who were here at the beginning, that's how they did, everything by prayer. When we didn't do something by prayer, when we were moving into this church and needed some construction, it went badly. But you know, why I'm saying this today is that it's easy for us to begin with prayer and then move into the flesh. To begin by prayer and then to begin doing things because we can, and we can do things by our own reason and imagination. And we forget how we began with prayer. And so I want to call us back, dear people of God. And not that we're not doing that by prayer. We are. God's giving Gene the same scriptures week after week that were already in the lectionary. When he preached on 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 last week, he didn't know it was in the lectionary, but it was. It was the epistle reading pointed for the day. But God had already led him to preach on that text, just as he led him to cite Psalm 100 this morning. So God is, we're doing it by prayer, but I want to encourage us more and more to do it by prayer, to seek God's leadership, to worship his manifest presence, to fulfill our first assignment of ministering to the Lord, that he can continue to open the doors and lead us in the path that he would have us go. So Paul goes, as he's led, come over and help us, goes across the strait, meets these women down by the river, they're praying, he meets Lydia. Lydia says, and the Bible says here, God opened Lydia's heart to the word of God. Isn't that something? There are some, I just sense this, so many of you, as I speak, or as the word is spoken, there's a hunger for the word of God. God had opened her heart, prepared the soil, and she listened to Paul, and then she was baptized, immediately became a Christian, and then she implored Paul, come to my house, come into my house, and she prevailed upon him. She was a persistent prayer, and Paul was convinced, went to Lydia's house, and guess what Lydia's house became? An upper room of prayer. Became a church, an upper room of prayer. And then Paul goes on from, this is all in Philippi, I'm telling you, all this is the background of this congregation, that Paul didn't have a long association with them, but he was with them for a while. He leaves Lydia's house, and he and the others are walking along, and pretty soon there's a demon-possessed girl, what we call kind of a medium. In New Age terms, she would be like a medium, right? She's given some demonically inspired spiritual gifts. Can you have demonically inspired spiritual gifts? Yes. Should you receive them? No. right? So she was able to tell future by demonic spirits, and she was following Paul and Silas along, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, and saying it in a very annoying and repetitive way. And finally, Paul turns to that woman and says, get out of her. He speaks to the demon inside her, and the demon leaves, and she's set free, but she's no longer profitable for her owners because she's a slave girl. And so Paul enrages her owner, who can't make money off her anymore, and they have Paul thrown in prison. Paul and Silas are thrown in prison. But in the 16th chapter of Acts, we learned as they're sitting in that stinking, rotten, probably rat-infested prison, what are they doing at midnight? They're singing and worshiping the Lord. And the other prisoners are listening. As you're living as a Christian, as you live in praise to God, people, you're never anonymous. Somebody's always watching. Somebody's always listening to your life, to the testimony of your life. And they were listening to Paul and Silas. And that prison cell became an upper room of prayer. It was probably in the lowest level of the prison, but became an upper room of prayer. And then God manifested his presence in powerful ways. The place was shaken. And I don't know how this happened, but the chains came off their arms and the doors unbolted and flew open, and all the prisoners could have escaped, but they didn't. God was present. And the jailer rushed in, and he was ready to thrust himself on his own sword. Paul says, don't do that. We're all here. And he took that, went into the, he told the gospel. He told about Jesus' death and resurrection to this jailer. And the jailer became a believer, and he and his entire household were baptized. And that jailer's house became an upper room of prayer. So everything by prayer. Paul says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Put your hand up again. Whenever you're going through a tough time, he's right here. Remember that. Call upon his name. And if you do, these next statements just flow. We're back in Philippians chapter 4. Have no anxiety. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We live in an anxious world. We live in a world where, especially as I read the surveys of young people, so many are consumed by this anxiety. Could be partly related to social media and all the pressures. You know, they find when the phones are not available, the social anxiety goes way down. Health begins to fill in. We need to take note of that as parents. I was so pleased in confirmation today to read that most weren't on social media. And I'm going, thank you, families, for protecting the hearts of our kids from all that undue, unnecessary anxiety. Hallelujah. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. But in everything, there's a but there. So what do you do with our anxiety? We all have things that we worry about, things that can weigh on us. What do we do with it? We convert our anxieties into prayers. Instead of being anxious about anything, Jesus said, you can't add a single cubit to your span of life by being worried about it. But instead, pray. Convert your anxieties into prayers. Just turn them into prayers. God, you know my heart. God, you know I'm worried about this. Lord, you know that I'm kind of consumed by this. Would you help me? Would you help this person? Would you bring peace to my heart? Would you find me a way through where I'm not seeing a way through right now? God, I trust in you. You're at hand. You promised you would never fail me. You are a God who answers prayer. Lord, I bring it to you with everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is deep prayer, persisting prayer. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why with thanksgiving? Because we have a God who answers prayer. You have a God, dear people, who's bigger than your problems. And so when you come to him in prayer, you can pray even your deepest petitions, your deepest anxiety, your deepest things that you are concerned about. And you can pray with thanksgiving, knowing that God is already knows your needs, that he hears your prayer, and that he will answer. in His way, in His good time, and for your good, and for His glory. And so you can pray every prayer with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, the peace of God. Is there anything we would crave more than the peace of God? I don't think so. Especially as we grow older, we want nothing more than to know God's peace in our hearts. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, the word guard is there, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the final admonition is to then focus our mind on that is which is worthy. Mary's got this in a colorful plaque on our bedroom wall. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything, any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things and then practice them. Paul says, what you've learned and seen and heard of me, practice. And then the promise again, and the God of peace will be with you. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the encouragement of your word and for the promises, Lord, that we can rely on. And we thank you most of all, Lord, for your presence, for your manifest presence. God, give us a hunger for you that we might seek you above all else, that we may not work for the food which perishes, but for that which endures to eternal life. As Gloria read from John chapter 6 today. Lord, give us a hunger for you. And thank you, Lord, for being with us, for your faithfulness, your goodness, your presence, Lord, and your peace. Thank you for eternity as we sang today. And thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name. Amen.